travel, room, board, and tuition. I mean, and books. When the 92 students now in Spain return to Alaska in December, they will join the regular AMU classes now on campus. They will continue their college studies just like any other high school student who has now been enrolled under an early admissions program. They will continue to be full-time degree-seeking students, and as Alaskan residents, they will continue to be eligible to tuition assistance grants from the state. Indeed, the only difference between these students and any other AMU students is that they happen to have been afforded the opportunity to have a semester of study in Spain under the supervision of regular AMU faculty who were assigned to this particular program as an enriched college experience. A side benefit of this program, both to AMU and to U of A Anchorage, has been that with these off-campus study programs involving 92 students, we have not had to provide the classroom space for them on campus, and this thereby makes more space available for consortia and U of A classes on our campus. Please forgive me for taking so long to explain this program, but I understood that some of the members of the legislature desired this information.
Thank you very much. Any members of the subcommittee, Mrs. Bentham?
Mr. Chairman, I have a couple other comments related to the, I was referring to the Spain
part. I have.
If you want me to, I'll quit.
No.
Okay.
Right.
Just a little more.
Please, your complete report. I thought you completed that,
I believe the last item on the agenda that you gave us was to deal with the consortia here in Anchorage and the progress we have been making in its implementation. Here again, we've had some successes and some failures. Of course, the consortia is designed to help students, not to build empires for administrators or faculties. And I believe we have been most successful in broadening the educational opportunities for college students in Anchorage. There are 229 cross-registered students in this semester. 82 AMU students attending ACC or the senior college, and 147 ACC and senior college cross-registered in AMU courses. According to our figures, this is almost a 350% increase over last fall. In other words, 4.5 times what it was last fall. This is what I mean when I say that the consortia is successful when it comes to benefiting the students. As far as facility sharing goes, we have made every effort possible to make space available to the University of Alaska Anchorage programs. The ACC musical play is now being given in AMU's auditorium because their facilities are not yet ready. We have made classrooms available each and every class period of the day. A total of 787 student stations have been put at the disposal of the senior college and ACC. Please remember, this is classroom space that we could use. We are short of instructional space in spite of what many believe. Our art studies, our anthropology lab, and our nursing program are all housed in a men's dormitory because of our lack of classroom space. And let me just point out a couple of other ways that we have tried to make the consortia work. One of our professors is teaching a math class for University of Alaska Anchorage at no cost to the university. It is part of his regular course responsibility for AMU, for which he gets his regular AMU salary. This came about when the professor had a moderate enrollment in AMU classes, but ACC had some extra students and no one to teach the class. So we offered to provide the instruction at no cost to the University of Alaska. AMU is not offering lower division chemistry, French, or German classes. They are being given at ACC. But we have promised to meet the upper division needs of U of A students in these areas. These are ways in which we can spread our limited resources in the most efficient manner. There is no reason why there should be two classes in the same subject, each with 5 students, when one class could handle the 10. Such economies simply make good sense. And I'd like to close now, Mr. Chairman, and thank you very much for your help and the anticipated help we'll have from you in the future.
Appreciate it very much, Representative Benton. Before we go, I'd like to introduce the newly elected Representative Helen Byrne. You stand up, just for everybody to see. And Representative Banfield, do you want to ask a question?
Yes, I'm very impressed with this report that Dr. Picton, and I think it shows that, you know, we're going in the right direction. But there's no hard budget information in this report, and I'm wondering, have you presented your latest budget to the legislature, either the Higher Education Committee or Stuart Hall or anyone?
No, we have not, but we'll have that available
Would
to you.
Would you have that available to
yes.
you?
Yes.
Thank you.
Any of the legislators present? Representative Tom, thank you. Looking at this report and some of the things that you said, it seems like you provided a couple of instructors and you provided quite a few classrooms, and you're providing more hours. And as I read the report, there's no transfer of money. Is there anything coming back to you, or why are you doing this? It seems like you spend a lot of your money for the University of Alaska.
This is our contribution to the consortium is functioning. There is no transfer of funds as far as the consortium classes and enrollments are concerned. In the past years, there have been some token transfers, and Dr. Haynes and I decided that we would eliminate that this year, so there's no transfer.
Are you using any of their classrooms or any of their
no.
instructors?
Not other than just under consortium.
I'm not sure I followed that last remark.
Now, we have some of our students enrolled in their classes as far as consortia.
Okay, now this would show
registration.
This would show that you have at least 82 of yours that are using facilities of university, and they have 147 using yours, and they show that they use twice as many of your hours as you use of theirs.
Yes,
that's what it says. And this isn't creating any financial burden for you.
Not at this point. We haven't had to add additional classes to handle the checks. We've been able to work with our present staff. Now, what it might be in the future, we don't know. We're watching it very carefully.
Well, you know, you started out with a financial problem, and now if you're providing some free services that you never provided before, your enrollment is up, but it doesn't appear to me it isn't up that much that you have any that kind of spare money around.
All right.
Something I don't understand, I think.
Okay. Most of the classes, I shouldn't say most, some of the classes that we have not been filled to capacity. And so we've been able to absorb some additional students without any additional cost to us. If the teacher, if we have 15 enrolled in the class and we can hold 20 in the room or something like that, we can take that. It doesn't cost us any more to provide that service.
Well, is the consortium in any way reduce the cost of operating for AMU?
It has helped in the sense that our students have a better range of courses available to them. Yes, they get a better program without having us having to pay additional costs.
Excellent. Mr.
Rossini? A couple of questions. What you have the number of student credit hours being taken by the cross-registration process. Could you know the percentage of the of each institution's total student credit hours that these represent?
No, I don't happen to have that figure.
Okay.
Computer, I don't know what it is.
Well, how many student credit hours in a semester do you have at AMU?
I would have to defer to our institutional reserve person, Dr. Davis. I don't know whether you've computed it that way yet or not.
I don't think I have it written out. In answer to your first question, Mr. Arsene, I can give you the percentages with respect to the total number of full-time, or the total number of students enrolled.
I've seen that.
In terms of credit hours.
I've seen that.
This year, 14% of our students are taking advantage of the consortium cross registrations compared to 2.5% of the University of Alaska students. That doesn't give you credit hour, but it gives you a general head count.
Any other questions, Mr.
Yeah, is there any reason you didn't publish your part-time fee schedule? I see the full-time fee schedule is here. Or the tuition assistance to the fee.
Not particularly.
Yes, sir.
In connection with Professor Orsini's question, I think it's interesting that exactly twice as many students take advantage of the consortium in the direction of getting courses at SJC as it was, I mean at AMU as it was at SJC. In other words, two-thirds of them are going in that direction, one-third the other direction, in terms of credit hours. The consortium, in other words, is working in the direction which you contemplated, utilizing the resources available here at AMU to a greater extent than making AMU students making available courses to AMU students.
Well, you suppose that's a function of the roughly five or six times the number of students at the state university as opposed to AMU?
That and lack of courses that are available up there. The state university has not had the courses available. Now they are through the consortium.
Representative Danfield?
To follow up on the question that Mr. Finn had, your teacher load, has it increased? I mean, are your teachers teaching more classes?
No, but the same number of classes, as I understand. Again, I think that's correct. And but our enrollments are up, so we're getting better production out of them from that standpoint.
Before we proceed any further, I'd like to introduce members of the Board of Regents who are here. Very pleased to have them here, Brian Brundine and Edith Bullock. Will you stand, members of the Board of Regents of the University of Alaska? Also, trustees of AMU. Mrs. Kellogg, will you please stand? And Dr. Frank Rose, who I introduced earlier, is the man who hired Bear Bryant.
I'm not gonna bet on against Alabama.
In any event, let's proceed. Is there anything more from AMU?
No.
Yeah, incidentally, we're gonna maybe have some questions subsequent earlier this afternoon, so we should come back. Staff member Stuart Hall.
Yeah, so Mr. Chairman, I think that to clarify a point raised by Representative Fink, with respect to the use of AMU classroom facilities, you will recall that the subcommittee and the staff, in response to one of the actual or potential criticisms of the consortium arrangement was that AMU wasn't making a significant contribution to it. The feeling was early last year that AMU could and should make that contribution by the making available at no cost, and the consortium agreement, the memorandum of understanding, so provides that they would make available these facilities at no cost to the University of Alaska. I don't know that really the idea of the consortium per se was to reduce AMU's costs. I don't think that was the sole or basic rationale for it. The idea was a more effective and if you will, more efficient use of the facilities and of all of the institutions that were available here in Anchorage in order to maximize the educational opportunities for the students in the Anchorage area, which was one of the great needs of higher education in the state, as the report produced for the subcommittee, I think, pretty amply demonstrated. The cost, while indeed the subcommittee is very interested and concerned about costs of the AMU operation, the idea was to make sure that AMU was making a meaningful contribution to the consortium. And it would seem to me that just from reading the material provided for us, that we request them to do so, that certainly that classroom space is being made available as we requested.
Okay, we're going to proceed on now. There, as in Sitka, there is another half of the partnership here, namely the community college and the other division, the University of Alaska here in Anchorage. We have with us Dr. Dean Wolf and Dean Short and Janet. Is it Janet?
Janet.
And we certainly appreciate the three of you coming here, and you may proceed to give the report to the subcommittee from your viewpoint and any recommendations you may have to make. We appreciate hearing from them, and the floor is now yours, Dean.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I regret that Provost Haynes could not be here today because he certainly could provide more detailed and accurate information than what I may be able to provide for you. Just very briefly, in essence, what Dr. Picton has reported is about the way we see it, as with regard to the exchange, the use of facilities, faculty space, and so forth. the Anchorage Senior College, as Dean of the Anchorage Senior College, along with Dean Short, Dean of the Community College, met with Dean Engel, academic dean at AMU, a number of times this semester. We have worked on various problems of duplication, course offerings, utilization of space, these kinds of things. We feel, at least I do, that good progress has been made and that it will continue in that direction. The senior college presently is offering, I believe, 8 classes in the AMU facilities. As many of you know, the senior college itself does not have a facility. We utilize primarily East High School, utilizing 32 classrooms there, and then some classroom space at AMU. For the first time, because of the utilization of space at AMU, we've been able to offer classes earlier than 4:30 in the afternoon. We're now offering 4 classes in the early afternoon, beginning about 2 o'clock and so on. Then we also have one of the largest classes that's being offered by the senior college, a class in Arctic Engineering with an enrollment of about 80, that is the class that's being held in the large classroom at AMU. Dean Engel and I have been to the Consortium Library building on 2 or 3 occasions, looking at the space, making some determination about what is needed by both institutions, and we will resolve problems that may come up with regard to utilization of space there. I think Dean Short would have some comments to make, and then we'll ask Dr. Janik to make some comments with regard to the overall operation of the consortium here.
Dean Short.
Thank you, Dr. Wolf. Mr. Chairman, I can only reiterate what has been said here, that administratively we are making an honest effort, a sincere, dedicated effort, to carry out the intentions of the legislature and the Board of Regents to implement cooperation and a consortium that is a working vehicle. Many of the incidentals have been mentioned already. None of this is progressing without some hitches, without a little friction, but it is progressing. To point out, and I don't mean to beat a dead horse, but to go back to the Representative Fink's question, we are using, through cross-registration, AMU resources at no additional cost to them, simply filling up classes that were not fully covered. Now, it has already been mentioned about necessary duplication of classes. When the lower division of the University of Alaska through the Community College is offering as many as 10 to 20 sections of freshman English, each of which has more than 25 to 30 students in it, we do not see that as a duplication, other than being absolutely necessary. So we have eliminated a lot of duplication, in that, as has been pointed out, all lower division chemistry is now being taught at the community college. Although, at this time, the senior college is not anticipating implementing any hard sciences, such as chemistry, which will be taught through AMU. Now, this entails continual meetings so that we are staffing appropriately for future years. And we are articulating. Mentioning the overseas trips and the Dillingham students, although these are entirely under AMU, we have been working with them that when they return, they wish to continue with their Spanish teaching, lessons, learning, Spanish language. And we have agreed to implement a class for them because AMU does not teach Spanish. I mentioned some of these simply to point out that a great deal of cooperation is taking place. I might point out that cooperation meetings for cooperation were taking place before the existence of the consortium and before any legislation. As Dr. DeClaw will undoubtedly point out, we met many times with the administration of AMU and Dr. McGinnis prior to the current consortium arrangement. However, I would say that the legislation put a great deal of pizzazz in the cooperation that wasn't there before.
You referred to a footnote?
I want to thank you very much, Dean. Hal?
Well, I don't think that I have anything real specific to report, more than perhaps to react to the questions you had. Dr. Picton, Dean Wolf, and Dean Short have spoken of some of the things that have been, or many of the things that have been going on in the consortium over the past year. I've been here about 15 months now, came here at the end of August, the 1st of September, a year ago. And I've seen considerable changes in some of the things that have gone on between the two institutions, expanding perhaps most notably the business of when I first came here. The arrangement was that one course, one student, a full-time student, and only full-time students could take a course at the other institution if there was a meaningful conflict or some other good reason for them to do this sort of thing. Now a student, either full or part-time student, may take up to and including half of his total course load at the other institution, and it counts all as resident credit with no worry about transfer and this sort of thing. We're involved in other programs, the Consortium Council, which is the policy-making body of this operation, recently took up the business of sponsoring a number of special programs, one particular involving music, where the school district, the local school district, was unable to react to a demand that was brought out by community college staff particularly, and it appears as if we're going to have a rather extensive workshop and festival in stage band music now this spring as a result of this cooperative agreement. And, well, I could talk about the statistics and what's happening in cross-registration and this sort of thing, but I think it might be most fitting to react to questions rather than to continue a formal presentation.
The Senator wrote like this. Suppose somebody has to ask a nitty-gritty question, and I may be treading in a dangerous ground, but I guess the popular move now is transactional analysis. You know, I'm okay, you're okay. Let's all proceed from there. And on a day-to-day basis, I suppose that's the way you operate your consortium. But what do we see 5 years down the road here? Would somebody care to comment?
Being sure.
Very intriguing how everybody else is willing to put somebody else's neck on the block. I will comment. You know, somebody has to either be courageous enough or stupid enough to go ahead and project out in the open. And I see that the entire emphasis here is a better educational opportunity for the students. And I cannot see, and I have not changed my statements over many years, that ultimately there will be a higher educational complex in Anchorage to serve the needs of the greater Anchorage area for higher education. Now, the details, who's running what, and who's funding this and that and the other, I think are to be worked out. But I see a unified, relatively single, although complex internal, institutional framework for higher education in Anchorage.
Before we proceed any further, it's a great pleasure. I'd like to introduce somebody like the rest of the legislators here who are vitally interested in higher education, recently elected, Helen Fisher. One thing I Dean Short or anybody, I'll tell you, the subcommittee, you know, was over at the community college yesterday, and frankly, I was impressed, and I'm sure the rest of the subcommittee was impressed, in the Hope Tech programs and what you're doing over there and that area. And I'd like to hear a little bit about that, because I think it's a thing of the future, particularly the oil development and the supplying with those type of trained personnel to the needs of Alaska.
Well, the entire name of a community college is a comprehensive approach to higher education, or post-secondary education. And comprehensive does not just mean feeder to a senior college or a state university or a graduate work. It also means career education, vocational technical opportunities. And we have, over the last 10 years, put special emphasis on developing programs so that people will become, have a viable, desired skill that they can sell when they finish their temporary education. I say that because many of them come back and go on. So in a two-year span, we have maybe 20 programs. I noticed that we have here today three members of the Associate Degree Nursing Program, which is a two-year RN program that started last year and will, at the end of this academic year, produce approximately 20 candidates for registration, RN, in 2 years. We think this is a significant educational opportunity that did not exist in the state before. That we have actually five health occupations, career occupations, some of them 1 year, some of them moving to 2 years, some of them already 2 years. We have trades and industry, many opportunities. I didn't come prepared to list them all, and I'm not sure that you want them listed. But this is a heavy emphasis in a community college.
Representative Fisher.
Dean Short, when I visited the university, I found that most of the people felt that they were lacking in vocational education at the community college, very much lacking. Do you feel the same way?
Well, I don't know what college you said you visited, and I don't know who you talked to. You mean the community college, Anchorage Community College? Strange. We have approximately 800 full-time and maybe 1,200 total students involved in just that. Vocational technical education.
Well, do you feel
I don't know who you talked to.
Well, I think it's a breakdown of communication. I think she means something else good. I think you mean they need additional funding.
Yeah, okay. This is what I would mean.
Now we're talking the same
thing. You want to change your answer.
Then I come. High limitation. When you talk about exchange of resources, Representative Fink, we have no classrooms to share with AMU. We have no staff to share with AMU. In the whole higher education of the state of Alaska, the staff at the Anchorage Community College is producing, across the board, the greatest amount of credit hours, teaching the greatest number of courses per staff member, etc. And we are using four other locations in the community daytime, and at least 27 to 30 additional classrooms at night that are not on our campus. So we had nothing to share there. I think we were the ones that needed help there. And we have received help. So, our limiting factor on educational opportunities, be they academic, vocational, or technical, is space and operating resources.
Another question along the same line, because I am vitally interested in this community college, as well as higher education. But I heard that many of those that dropped out because of overcrowded classrooms, that the instructors just had too many in the vocational field in their classes. Is this
I'd have to say that we put students in programs and classes to the maximum, which is not necessarily the optimum. And this may sometimes have a detrimental effect on some students.
A couple of questions. Dean Wolf, do you see this consortium as, how do you see this consortium as affecting new program determination? And do you think there are problems in autonomy for either institution?
Let me answer the last one first. There probably are, in that if we go into any kind of a shared arrangement, someone is going to have to give some here. Of something, and this may, in essence, be autonomy. As Dean Short pointed out earlier, I think if you look 5 years from now or some years down the road, you'll probably see a very complex kind of arrangement here for higher education. I certainly can't crystal ball and tell what it's going to be. With the experience that I've had here, I really don't know. With regard to the development of new programs, this is something that we've really not gone into very far at this point. I'm in the community, as you know, and the whole plan of development for the Anchorage Senior College is something that is being worked on. It's something that we must develop, and until we have some kind of plan for involving development programs at the upper divisions and graduate level, then we'll just have to make a determination at that point how to work this out. But at the moment, as an example, if we take chemistry or any of the physical sciences, the Anchorage Senior College does not presently offer courses in the physical sciences because we do not have a physical science laboratory and have any space. At the present time, we do not have any faculty members in those areas except in some related math and engineering. For that reason, we have entered into the consortium agreement that AMU would offer upper division chemistry for this year. What it will be like for next year, we don't know. But in the building that is to be constructed with the bond money that was passed in the recent bond election,
part of the building will be devoted to physical science laboratory space. We have a little bit of lead time, about 2 years now, something like that, to work out the details of the program to fit the building.
Representative Fink,
department.
I'm sorry, Mr. Racine, you finished?
I had a couple of questions.
Go ahead.
Let somebody else take care of it.
Okay, Representative Fink. One question. In your senior college budget, there's a footnote on $700,000 for consortia use or for increased students. Can you give me an idea where you're using that money or what you're using for? Or is it going to lapse? Or?
It isn't going to lapse. Part of it is being utilized for faculty resources in both community college and senior college. Also, for the development of and payment of other resources. The consortium director's salary and secretarial expense and so on. For counseling, the cross-registration clerks, graduate for work in the psychology laboratory, office space for the consortium director, advertising, putting out the the schedules, and this sort of thing.
You $700,000 for that sort of thing?
Well, faculty for the two units totals more than half that.
Well, does it fit in the category of increased enrollment or consortium development?
Yes.
Well, one or the other, or both, or what? Where does it fit?
Both. In other words, you see, when we offer management, courses in management, and graduate program in business administration, public administration, which are courses that they did not offer, then we've utilized a portion of the money there.
Representative Barber, you want to ask a question?
Yes. I hear a constant criticism of our local community college out there along the vein that when you open up your courses in 10 minutes, they're fully subscribed to. And is that a fact?
In some instances, yes.
Okay. Now I'd like to ask you this question. Do you keep a record of the individuals applying for those classes over and above your full classroom?
As of this last semester, yes.
Good. I think those are going to be very interesting figures to be discussed in the future.
We can give you a printout at this time that will show you how many students were turned away and took the time to fill out a closed class desire form on every class we offer.
Good.
Representative Ben, would you want to say something?
No, I just want to be sure that we're getting this information on $700,000.
Mr. Orsini, you can finish your questioning. What's it, Helen, you want to say something?
I want to ask another question of Dean Short. Were they turned away because of financial reasons we could not hire more professors, or could we not put them over on the consortium or to AMU? What was the reason?
In most instances, they were turned away because the classes were full. The schedules are not identical. In many cases, they could cross-register and pick up what they wanted at AMU, in which case they would not fill out a closed class sheet. But our limiting factor is primarily operating finances. In other words, we did not have enough staff to meet the need. And our staff is limited by our operating budget.
All right, Mr. Orsini.
Do you think that a different method of budgeting would help this situation any? That is, you're having the operating budget a function of the additional revenue generated by students?
Are you asking me?
Well, either both of you, I guess.
Well,
in other words, if you have 30 students who want to take a class, those 30 students' fees could possibly pay for the instructor's salary on a part-time basis.
That's true. And we get into a complicated budgetary procedure here in which our total annual budget anticipates a certain amount of student income. And until that student income is generated, I do not know whether I can use any wash accounts. You know, this class will carry itself. So I'm always doing this ex post facto, after the fact. Otherwise, I'm living very, very dangerously, and this doesn't happen to be the year for me to live dangerously. So, what we are doing, just like the students outfigure us on the registration, we sometimes outfigure the budget. And we are currently projecting a second registration each semester that is not under the consolidated fee, in which you pay a straight fee, and if there are enough students, we make the class. Now, the first time we did that was last fall, and it was not too successful. It was very successful in one area. We picked up 100 skiing students. But in the academic area, the students had already made other arrangements, or their programs weren't adequate, or they didn't anticipate this, so we didn't do too well. Now we're telling them further ahead of time. This is what we can afford with our current budget. And that's all we can afford. If you get turned away, wait. 3 weeks from now, there'll be another registration. You may be able to get what you want.
By this fall, by last fall, do you mean 72 or 71?
72.
72.
This fall.
Perhaps I could comment on that just briefly also. See, the state college budget proposed of $483,000 in student income from fees. Okay. That, along with the regular appropriations, then constitutes the total budget that I have to work with. Until we raise that almost $500,000 in fees, then we really ought not be spending it. And this is, I think, one of the places where we've come into difficulty before, is that we have assumed that because we're offering a lot of classes and so on, the income was there, but we weren't very positive about it. So we're being more careful than ever before to be sure that we are staying within the budget appropriations. Now, I guess it's from my point of view, it's certainly an unfortunate thing that the total budget, you see, made up of this $483,000 fees, student fees, and the other part, the governor elected to do the line item veto, and the other part didn't veto the fees, the income from fees, but it did the other part. So from my point of view, that's a difficulty.
I have one final question. I see on the agenda here that the consortium library is named Middleton Keystone Joint Library. I was wondering how this naming came about, if anybody might happen to know.
Can I respond to that?
Yes, go ahead.
This has been discussed, Mr. Orsini, in the consortium council, and this was the original plan, I think, some time ago, a year or two ago. That is not necessarily the plan at this point.
So it may not be named Middleton Keystone.
That's true.
Any other questions? Mr. Hall?
Yes, I'd like to turn a moment to the nursing program. Now, I gather that the community college is offering an associate arts degree, which leads to a certification as a registered nurse.
It makes them eligible to take the licensure examination.
Right. In other words, it leads to that exam. Now, in this day and age, as I understand it, in order to attain a supervisory position in the nursing profession, you virtually have to have a Bachelor of Science degree in nursing. In the military, you don't get promoted to major as a nurse unless you do have that Bachelor of Science degree. Is there a plan through the consortium, either at the AMU's nursing program or at the senior college, in the senior college program, to offer ultimately the Bachelor of Science in nursing? How close are we to being able to offer that, or are we doing it now?
We're doing it now?
We are not doing it in the University of Alaska. We have no plans to do it because AMU is already doing it.
You are offering the Bachelor of Science degree in nursing. And are the credits that, if they start with their program, let's say at the community college, and receive their AA degree, then they can transfer on and work toward the Bachelor of Science degree in nursing?
Yes. The internal technicalities of doing that are being worked on by the two staffs currently.
But do you see a prospect of being able to get a fully coordinated program so that the students can move through this
yes.
series of courses to attain that professional
Absolutely.
Level?
Absolutely.
It probably won't be possible to build a complete career ladder on that. I've been talking, Lorraine Carlson is here representing the program, and it's likely, for example, that the entire 2 years of the program at community college will not be transferable directly into the program at AMU, but the majority of it will. The ideal is to build a career ladder so that the student can stop at an associate degree program or go on into a Bachelor of Science degree program.
We're getting close to lunch hour, but before the group leaves, I'd like to give you the opportunity to leave any message or what you consider the greatest need that you may need to the legislators who are here. I'm giving you the last shot, so to speak, Dean Short, people, Al Jang. So you can summarize and let us know what you consider important and what we will evaluate in our recommendations and certainly what the rest of the legislators here, because the purpose of this is to find out the needs in the Yankee Dairy. Now you have your last shot at it.
In view of that, I think I'll simply ask Dean Short to reiterate what he said earlier about the resources and buildings.
I was going to say that most of the things you possibly have heard and may hear are, from our point of view or my point of view, internal administrative problems that exist continuously. And that on the basis of what we feel to be justifiable substantiation, we feel that a greater amount of wherewithal, put it another way, when we talk to Ellen, money, will allow us to better meet the needs of the post-secondary educational needs in the Anchorage area.
Thank you very much. Yeah, one thing I want to comment on, the sending them around of the consortium minutes. Now, the subcommittee has been most impressed. The Legislative Council, I'm sure, has been impressed generally to see such activity and such good communications between the two institutions. And I'm wondering if there's any thought been given to distribute those minutes to all the legislators to indicate that there is progress along the lines of cooperation and along the lines of, I'm wondering if Al could comment on that, because I was interested in seeing those minutes and getting them regularly.
Yes, most assuredly. There's no problem with that at all. We've just started distributing those minutes more widely than strictly an in-house thing with the council and so forth in the past few months. And I appreciate those kind of reactions, and most assuredly I'll see to it that all of the legislators receive copies of those minutes and any other information that's generated through the consortium from this point on.
I guarantee you they're being read very carefully, unlike some minutes we get.
Mr. Chairman, your staff would very much like to have copies, and we have not been receiving them.
Okay.
Please, they say the newly elected legislators
minutes,
did you?
Senator
Mr. Hall, would you give me a list, please?
Surely. In short, you made a very eloquent statement there, and if you, in your proposed budget for this coming legislative session, put forth justify the need, the amount of money you will need.
Well, anytime we mention budgets, you have a tender subject, because, yes, I did. However, as an integral part of the University of Alaska, the Anchorage Community College budget must fit into overall parameters, sometimes set by the Board of Regents, sometimes by the governor, and in other manners. And where I might project a budget need of $3.5 million, if our particular allocation turns out to be $2 million, that's what I have to live with. And that's before that's in all in-house.
I'm just saying that justification is there in the proposal for the needed money.
Yes.
Mr. Dell, we're ready to adjourn for lunch, but before we do, I want to announce that the Faculty Association at the Anchorage Community College has been afforded the opportunity by the subcommittee to address it and give us some input concerning the faculty viewpoint in this community. However, rather than trying to go over the lunch hour, Ralph McGrath here and the rest of your people, why don't we take you on at 1:30 this afternoon and ask you to appear at that time, that you'll have more of an opportunity and certainly more time.
Senator Murray's...
Yes.
Everybody. Carter.
Senator Murray's,
yes. I want to say one other thing.
Yeah.
That I've counted the number of people that are here today. 62 people that have showed up. I've heard various people talk about commitment to higher education. 30 members of the Anchorage Community College faculty that are here. We expect to be here. I think it was your obligation to be here. And it is our intent to give our presentation right now. And if people wish to leave for dinner, that's more important. I encourage them to go. We intend to speak.
I have no objection. Certainly, I have no objection at all. You make your presentation right now. I intend to stay, and I'm certain this is Ben's so that's so why don't you just go ahead and make your presentation.
Thank you very much. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. First off, I would like to, at the same time, thank the committee for speaking to us yesterday at the Faculty Association meeting and inviting us to attend. And I hope I don't charge across too strong at this particular point. I'm trying to keep it mild. I think the fact that you do see over half of the people here from Anchorage Community College does represent, I think, a commitment to quality and integrity in higher education. And I think it is also a commitment to community college education. And I think there is a clear difference. And when we talk consortium, I think it is imperative that we talk about who is consorting with who. And if consorting is consorting community college out of its identity, frankly, we do not see ourselves as a part of that. We feel we are a viable institution. We are accredited as a community college. And I think everybody here ought to be aware of that. There have not been any newspaper releases to that fact. And I think you ought to ask yourself why. We would like to know why. The Northwest accrediting team was here this spring, did accredit us. We have, you know, the good housekeeping seal approval too. During the past year, I think just as somewhat suggestive of the concerns of the community college faculty, which incidentally numbers 140, 90 of whom are directly through University of Alaska money's instructional budget. You've been reading about it. I think you have seen somewhat the concern of the community college in this campaign here. We became very much, I think, a motherhood issue. Every legislator was talking community college. And I think it ought to suggest somewhat our frustration and inability to function as a viable institution, which we are acknowledged as being. On the back of this happens to be a statement which I think sums up almost the unanimous feeling of the Faculty Association. Take our land, take our people. And we feel very much that is what consortium has been doing to the community college. Many ways the rape of the community college land. $500,000 was earmarked for Anchorage Community College parking. We would like to know why a path was built over to AMU with that money. We need some clarification on that. Is that the intent of the legislature to direct $500,000 for us, specifically Anchorage Community College for parking? And I think you ought to be aware that in the springtime, path is being built by the city in the manner of a four-way lane, as we understand it, Providence Avenue. People have an obligation to ascertain the expenditure there. That is not our idea of consorting. The Community College Advisory Committee unanimously stated what that money should go for. One of the intents was not clearly stated because it was raised. Pathway to the stars for a parking lot. Secondly, a number of people comment, I think Senator Grove put it very well, transactional analysis, if I remember the terminology. It's a polite term. It comes from a senator, and perhaps I won't speak as politely on the matter. Over 1,000 students were turned away from Anchorage Community College. According to the class closure analysis that Dean Short referred to earlier, 1,000 students. The very next day, AMU was registering, and first off was advertising on the media, get closed out at ACC, come to AMU. Perhaps that could sink in a little bit. students want to attend community college. And I think it's the state's obligation to provide them that opportunity. Next. Here of AMU operating, and I think Sheldon Jackson the same, on the basis of student need. Average enrollment at Anchorage Community College is over 25 students, close to 25 students. When you read of plugs to run classes with 7 students, we personalize instruction, we individualize it. Don't think we don't want to individualize it too. So if it means you run classes of 7 and exclude other institutions who are running classes of 25, I would agree with that perfectly. Sound economics make good sense. I think we ought to start putting our dollar where the students are. AMU mentions 350% enrollment increase. ACC has a population growth 0. Not because we cannot serve more students, but because we do not have the money to serve more students. As a division coordinator for the Community College of Social Sciences, I cut back from last year's offerings 30 classes. That is in one division. I will be cutting back in the spring semester at least another 10. While we are pumping $700,000 into what Wendell Wolf eloquently stated and Tom Fink eloquently questioned. So we do not have an increase. There's no question where the students are. We talk about classes. Currently a class at AMU with 6 students, taught by 6 faculty. And a consortium class, I suppose. 6 faculty members at Anchorage Community College will be servicing at least 125 students. And I think you ought to all take that into consideration. In reference to the cost of the faculty, we hear about the low salaries of the AMU faculty, Sheldon Jackson faculty. I've taught in Sitka, Community College there. Taught here. I also think I'm underpaid, but I don't have housing. I would like to have the $300 and some that is expended for rent. Might be considered when you take a look at salaries. We talk about identity. And I saw somebody here project a newspaper. For 17 years, Anchorage Community College has always been identified in scheduling. I think you should take a close examination. There is two institutions. We talk about consortium. I think we're talking about 3 institutions. University of Alaska Anchorage, Alaska Methodist University. Another thing you might consider in this spread is the size of it. The AMU's print is much larger, easier to read at the U of A. And then look at the total number of offerings. This is still University of Alaska Anchorage. Community College, a year ago, before this trend, I think, emerged, I was serving as the director of the evening division for the Community College, responsible for putting together the programs, and we were running close to 600 classes. Venture to say that this past year If you make comparisons, you would be talking about a reduction in offerings of about 100. This is the expense of consortium. You certainly have to question it, and I don't think I'm speaking personally. Another matter of identity. I've heard all sorts of statistics thrown out. Visualize what's happening. Anchorage Community College. That's the way that went to the printer. Now, the way the students received it?
Can't read it. Can't read it.
Of course you can't read it. It's an insult.
Would you read it for us?
Would you read it?
Oh, okay. This says, in bold print, Anchorage Community College. This says, in bold print, forget it.
What did I say about that?
What does it say underneath this quote? University of Alaska Anchorage, same as it says here. Other item that I would like to mention, the support for the Anchorage Community College faculty. Currently, the Anchorage Community College faculty, instructional faculty of 90, paid out of University of Alaska Money School, does not have one single secretary devoted full time to the faculty. All of the typing efforts that are undertaken by the individual faculty members. We have a number of representatives from community college faculty that would like to speak to you about our hunger for quality education. And I would hope that you would bear with your stomach growls and perhaps listen to them. I think they have something to say to all of us. Would like to move on, and we'll, for the sake of the expediting this, introduce the different members of the presentation. Judy Rollins, who is with the Health Occupations.
Yes, I'd like to just speak to one point. I'm a coordinator of Health Occupations, and I'm also an instructor in the Associate Degree Nursing Program. And I think that at least my feeling, is not that we want to destroy consortium by any matter of means, but I think all we're asking for is some equal representation and some opportunity for input. And so this is what I'm addressing my comments to today. At a recent meeting of the advisory board to the continuing nursing education, which is through the consortium, there were many people present at this particular meeting. Several of them were from the Anchorage area. There were people from Seattle, there were local representatives, there were also people from the consortium at this committee. And one of the comments that were coming up was a discussion of what the consortium was doing with the health program. The thinking that was going on was that this is the center of medical activity here in Anchorage. It's also the center of medical learning. And if we consider the geographic location of medical centers, there's already some grouping going on with AMU, with UAA, Community College, Providence Hospital, Alaska Psychiatric Institute, in proximity close there. As I understand, a result of some input from some recent visitors to the AMU campus, there was some discussion about reorganization of some centers in their structuring. One of these was to be a health center. And there was a good deal of excitement and conversation going on exploring the possibility of supporting construction of an educational wing to Providence Hospital. When asked what this would consist of, it was to be labs, classrooms, and offices, possibly three stories in size. And if it was to have, the question was asked if it was to have patient space as part of the lab facilities, and yes, the answer was that it would possibly have one ward for patient occupation. Now, the point I'm trying to make is that there were various people present, particularly community college faculty, and the question was that how could this be a consortium effort when five out of the six health occupations in Anchorage are based at the Anchorage Community College. No one in the ACC structure, from Dean Short on down to me as a coordinator, had heard anything of this move. I understand when Dr. Janik was asked about this that he did backtrack and said that this was just a possibility and that perhaps this was a premature statement. The only thing that I would like to close with is that I believe that it can't be two ways. If it is premature, then perhaps it shouldn't be coming out in this sort of meeting. And if it isn't premature, then the problem is that indeed this may be like the library fiasco. We're going down the tube because we have not had any ACC input.
Lorraine Charlton,
this is
the registered nursing.
First of all, thank you very much, those of you that are staying to listen to us. And I feel as though I have the need to add some preliminaries to my plea because I don't want to cause any, I guess, really ill feelings. So I want to say that the associate degree nursing faculty, those of us who claim to be nurse educators, first of all, we're very supportive of baccalaureate nursing education. We believe in it, we want to support it. And I think that you would be glad to hear also that we have very good reciprocal, friendly, ongoing relationships with the Dean, Effie Anderson Graham at AMU, and all their faculty. Not only do we consider each other colleagues, I think we also consider each other friends. And I wanted to mention this because I feel a plea for justice, and that's what I want to try to present to you. The baccalaureate nursing program at AMU for 5 years has received a special line item. It's my understanding that when Governor Hickel was in office, that this is when the item was started or presented to the College of Nursing at AMU. They have been in existence 5 years. And these 5 years, they have received this state money as a special line item. They have yet to graduate a registered nurse. We have been in existence 2 years. We admitted students September 1971. We will graduate 19 people next May 1973, who will be candidates to take the state board examination test pool and become licensed registered nurses. And the baccalaureate nurses take the same state board exams to become a registered nurse also. Last year, the associate degree nursing program did not have enough money to maintain minimal standards which the state board of nursing sets in order to continue the nursing program. And I applied for a financial distress grant in order to meet these needs. I also wrote to legislators because I thought if, in my own personal feeling, if one RN program gets a special line item, then why shouldn't both registered nurse programs get a special line item? Some legislators responded to my letter, and they said that if they gave the associate degree nursing program a special line item, they would have to give all the programs at Anchorage Community College a special line item. But, you know, the Alaska Methodist University College of Nursing has a special line item, and their other programs don't. And yesterday at the Anchorage Community College Faculty Association meeting, I think one in the group mentioned that we should really be concerned with taxpayers' money. And yet thousands of dollars have gone to AMU College of Nursing for 5 years, and they have not produced a registered nurse. I have gotten very little state money from the budget, plus the financial distress grant, and I'm producing 19 registered nurses in 2 years. And I just don't feel that it's fair or just for one registered nurse program to receive a special line item and not another. And I think at yesterday's Faculty Association meeting, someone suggested, you know, how do we consort? And even though I think you want input, I feel like I also need an answer. I would like to consort with $179,000 that I understand that AMU's College of Nursing received the past year. And nursing programs are expensive, one reason being because of the teacher-faculty ratio. So my plea, I think, is really for fairness and justice, because I think if one RN program receives a special line item, the other should. And I'd like to assure you, and I hope that you will follow through in the years to come, that the associate degree nursing program, the two-year RN program at Anchorage Community College, will be putting out very safe, competent, fine nurses. We have a very qualified faculty. And I hope you will take my plea very seriously and carefully. Thank you for listening to me.
Dr. Pick, can you show us a comment before we go any further on? You desire to comment on that?
Okay. Do it later if you want.
Well, you can now if you want to. No, Skiller. You want to wait till later?
Yes.
Okay, fine. Go ahead.
Peter Blewett, who is with the Library Consortium Committee and the faculty members.
I would like to second Lorraine's observations that we do consort, have a consortium, and that we desire to see the consortium move ahead. I certainly share that. My background is such that I think it stands of itself. I was the original chairman of the consortium task force in Anchorage, and worked with my colleagues at Anchorage Community College to put together the package that we have today. And primarily, that meant insisting that we hire a director, namely one Mr. Hal Janik. And I'm certainly am glad he's here, and I'm proud to have been a part of that operation to get him here and to get the consortium rolling. We put in a lot of hours, time, and thought 2 years ago to put this together. I originally conceived of the consortium idea, as I was chairman of the task force, as something along the lines of the Claremont School, another consortium in the United States. That is, where each institution retains its autonomy and liability, and where the student profits from the sharing procedure, which would result in the consortium arrangements. And I think this has occurred to a great extent. However, I have to admit that as the process unfolded, I became more and more concerned, and my colleagues at the Anchorage Community College and students there became more and more concerned that one aspect of the consortium was not, in fact, operating to benefit the majority of students in the Anchorage area. Now, some statistics very briefly might be in order here. When I say the majority of students in the Anchorage area, I mean simply that presently there are enrolled 4,500 students at the Anchorage Community College, some 1,500 or so in the senior college, and as Dr. Pickens indicated, approximately 1,000 students at AMU. So we are speaking now of the majority of students enrolled at the Anchorage Community College on campus. If you want to translate that in terms of the kind of university we're running, it's a commuter university. We're talking about 5,000 cars in and out of that place a day. And all you have to do is drive out there in the evening to see what I mean. We were accredited last year. This has been brought out, and I'd like to underscore that. After a year's vigorous work by faculty and students as a comprehensive community college, in the accreditation report, the accreditation team came out very strongly in praise of our library on the campus. They said it was one of the finest community college libraries they had ever seen. And they pointed out that the basis of accreditation rested partially on this fact. As the chairman of the consortium task force, working through the problem of the consortium regional library, it was my understanding, although verbal, I must admit, that the library would not, in fact, eliminate the community college library. I refer you specifically to the agreement, the binding, I presume, binding legal agreement between the regents and the trustees, in which it points out that a majority of the volumes would be moved to the regional materials library. That is the precise language of the agreement. So we were assured that we would not lose our library in this arrangement. Last spring, we were told, on the contrary, that in fact we would lose the entire library. And you might well imagine the reaction of the faculty and the students when this announcement came out. We were shocked. We were a bit chagrined that we had been, as it seemed, taken in. And we moved very quickly to see what could be done about the problem. In the report from the Accreditation Committee, Northwest Accreditation Committee of Higher Education, it was pointed out that if the library were to be lost, this would seriously damage the quality of instruction at the comprehensive community college in Anchorage. Those words were explicit and plain. When we asked the provost in the Alaska Anchorage system about this, he said, yes, I see the writing. I understand what is being said here. However, these people are not the final, do not have the final say, are not the final word in what we do. Of course, they're not. They do not run the University of Alaska or the University of Alaska Anchorage or the Anchorage Community College. However, they did accredit us. They are recognized nationally as an accrediting agency, and we felt that their words had some weight. We quickly moved last spring to what lengths we felt were necessary, confronting people where we felt it was necessary, getting student petitions out, passing resolutions in the Anchorage Community College Faculty Association, in fact, going to the extent when it seemed imminent that we would lose the library, of voting a sum of money to be used in the possible event that the library would be moved, of investigating the likelihood or the feasibility of a class action injunction. We felt that strongly about it, as a matter of record. This fall, we learned that the library would not be moved totally, and we were gratified. We were not part of the series of decisions that led to that adjustment, if you want to call it an adjustment, but we were quite gratified to learn that it would not be totally moved. However, we were told that, as a matter of fact, 10,000 volumes would remain on the Anchorage campus, on the Community College campus. To clarify this, 3,000 vocational volumes would remain, 3,000 reference volumes would remain, and roughly 4,000 academic volumes would remain on the Anchorage campus, Community College campus. To do a quick bit of arithmetic, if you subtract the same number of reference volumes from the AMU collection of about 70,000 volumes, you can make the comparison, 4,000 volumes would remain out of the present 50,000 on the Anchorage campus. Out of the total of 110,000, roughly speaking, academic volumes, 4,000 would remain. As you can figure, that's about 3.5%. Now, we felt that was neither within the spirit nor the direct and specific state legal statement of the guidelines set down by the consortium. When they stated the majority of the volumes were to be moved, we certainly concurred with that. We believe in and strongly support an upper division graduate regional library, but not at the expense of education at the community college. When we did further statistical computations, it came out that each course at the Anchorage Community College, on a pure mathematical basis, would be allocated approximately 20 volumes. That breaks down, if you're in history or something, say six basic topics you cover during a semester, you get three books. Now, in our history department, that meant about six of us would have to agree on which of those three books we wanted to use for classical Rome civilization. In a recent meeting of the Consortium Library Advisory Committee, of which I am a member, I put forth the motion, that this figure be raised to a minimal figure of a total of 24,000 volumes. Roughly speaking, 18,000 academic volumes, or approximately 16% of all books available in the Anchorage area. This, we felt, was a minimal sill below which we could not go and still, as the accreditation team suggested, operate as a viable comprehensive community college. I moved that this sill be raised to 24,000 volumes in the council. There was to be no second to my motion until my colleague, Mrs. E.D. Lynch, from Anchorage Community College, seconded the motion for at least discussional purposes. The discussion which followed made it absolutely clear that the Consortium Library Advisory Committee neither understands nor shares the feeling or commitment to comprehensive community college education in the city of Anchorage. This is no slur on them. These people are university people with PhDs, with an interest in research and upper division teaching. We need that badly in Anchorage. We do not need it at the expense of the community college. I know many of these people personally. Margaret Engel, for example, a close friend of mine. By the way, I've taught several courses at AMU. I've taught there over the last 4 or 5 years, and I feel a part of AMU, oddly enough. I find myself at cross purposes on this issue. My point is simply this. When the motion came to the table for a vote, it was voted down 6 votes to 2. The two Anchorage Community College votes were in favor of raising the sill, and all the rest were, of course, against. Simply because they could not share the feeling and the conviction for community college teaching. We feel this is a very severe problem regarding the use of the library. We think that we can work within the confines of the consortium agreement and work effectively. But we cannot work unless we, and I echo Lorraine's, I think, eloquent plea, unless we receive justice. Our identity is at stake. Our functioning as a viable community college is at stake. And we feel we have not been dealt justice regarding the library. This is not consorting. This is a ripoff. Thank you.
Your product, because I went to school at AMU and I went to school in Fairbanks, so I'm here because of you, and I try and teach not just your children, but you. Our students are not just kids. They're everybody. But in the consortium pamphlet advertising the virtues of consortium, you only see pictures of young people, young Caucasian people. Please remember that ACC offers educational opportunities to everybody in the state. We don't recruit either. We don't spend money on that. I think it would be nice if somehow the legislators could get a class size figure from all three units involved in the consortium. At ACC, we are held to a 25-student quota. We have to make 25 students per class as an average. At different branches of the university, the same courses have a much lower acceptable making average. For example, in English 213 at ACC, we're supposed to have 25 students. At U of A, in Fairbanks, they can run it with 18, and I understand at upper division here it might be a little bit lower than that. This is kind of a personal problem. I wish that there was some way that the women in the University of Alaska had the protection of a published salary schedule. And my third point, I'm scared to death, is that I just found out that there is a public law, 9218, which will have some effect on education in Alaska. There is proposed a community college education commission. I'm not quite sure whether this commission will be composed of people from the federal level or the state level, but the plan is that no federal monies will be released unless this commission is operational. A guideline on the commission and its relationship to other bodies will be issued in December. Please, if you have anything to do with this commission, will you get community college people on it, working for your friends and for your children and for your colleagues? They're not just kids. Thank you.
Thank you, Silver. Tony Lucas is behind us under Murdy's, and he is with the Vocational Technology Program in Electronics, and would like to direct his attention to how different matters affect the Vocational Technology Program.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I'm kind of like Silver here. This gentleman hired Bear Bryant. I remember a story about him a long time ago. He said when I get football players, I take them out into the middle of a big forest, and I let them go. And those that run around the trees are my backfield men, and those that run through them are my linemen. You're meeting the linemen here. So I'm not very polished as a public speaker. And some of the expressions that I leave may not carry exactly the intent I mean. Sometimes I say, well, now I should have said that. Well, what did I say that for? But in essence, what I'm saying is that as an instructor, electronics instructor, community college, consortium doesn't mean much to us. We have nothing really to do with it. I mean, AMU doesn't have an electronics program or an automotive. But there are things that do mean a lot to us. I have a, Dean Short said something earlier about he didn't know, didn't have a list of all the programs. I had a few of our vocational technical newsletters that I've passed around. The October one has items dealing with the student enrollment and how we had to turn people away. I've heard a couple figures bandied as to a night class that we offered from 11 to 17 students didn't get to go to school in electronics at night. These people worked daytime. The reason they didn't is we didn't have enough money to fund this class. This is important to us. Also, we have another problem in the fact that many of our students are going under MDTA. They are being supported by funds from the state, and they come every day, and they're getting by just at the very edge of existence to get through so we can train these people so they can work for people like ITT, RCA, GE, to make them productive in society. We have a parking lot, and the rumor has it that we're going to have to pay for that parking lot. That means that fellow that's going to my class from 8 to 2:30 in the afternoon, he's going to have to pay 10 cents an hour. He probably is not going to have any lunch if he has to drive. And in most cases, you have to drive in Anchorage, because if you live on this side of town and we're on that side of town, there's no bus to get you there. We have no transportation. So this can be a problem to us. We definitely need funding for parking. We definitely need parking area, as previously has been mentioned. Also, the library. The library to me means simply this. If I have a student that's progressing and he has a half an hour of time that I can have him do some research, I can run him across about 50 or 100 feet to the library. He normally will be working 8 hours a day plus coming to my class. You're not going to see that boy sitting in the library in the evening or in the morning. He's going to be working or sleeping or coming to class. So about the only chance he'll have of using that library for his research, for his English, his history, his business administration, whatever, is only when I can get him loose and send him over there. This little panel, I think, will show you a number of the innovations that we're trying to involve in our teaching so people can go at their own rate, so that we can get more people involved per instructor, more students per instructor, and still get them through. And as I say, if we lose our library there, the result probably will be like in most large colleges where you have a department that is in engineering. They will have their own library right in that department. And that will probably be the result over a period of time. We'll just have to acquire the books right into our department. How many books? 500 maybe? And when you're talking $11, $12 a book, a little bit of money that we'll have to lay out some way or another. Maybe out of my pocket, maybe out of my salary, which I'm sure, well, let's forget that. Now, another thing, we desperately need space. I'm teaching a class in mathematics in a lab right now. We have benches in high and stools to set up so you can work on equipment this high. Have you ever tried to work calculus working down like this? It's difficult. Logarithms. We definitely need classrooms for our students. We had some students we turned away daytime program, but we didn't have an empty class like we had 30 some in our first semester. And the classroom that we had for this purpose kind of sneaked into the academic accidentally. We'll have to get it back next semester because we'll have a fourth semester class going. I would also like to speak to rank and tenure sort of thing for people in community college and vocational. And sabbatical leaves. I don't need a sabbatical leave as such. I'm an avionics man by trade. The aircraft is the thing I understand. But when they bring in new equipment, such as they're doing right now, I may need a week, a month, or 2 months. I don't need to research some language. I don't need to research a history that might take 6 months or a year. It might take me 6 months, true. But as a rule, in vocational training, to get updated on a new computer or a new piece of equipment or a new innovation in automobiles, smog control, etc., or a new welding technique, it might take, you know, a week, or it might be just a 3-day seminar. But I definitely need some method, or we all, I say I, and when I say I'm speaking, I hope for all the people in vocational technical. We definitely need some monies so that we can get to these and get back. In our state, many things are going to happen in the next few years. The development, with ITT and RCA taking over many of these sites, the new equipment they're bringing in, you don't believe. We don't either, but certainly we would like for you to consider some funding along this for the vocational. Autonomy for ACC, I would like to see autonomy this way. There's community colleges at Sitka, at Juneau. Why can't we have a consortium for these community colleges? Is it worth considering? I think so. Mr. Knapp and people down there may need some very important help from us, or maybe we could use some very important help from them. For example, there's a lot of fishing boats in this country that have radar. Can we train some radar technicians for them, in the net, Juneau, and so forth? As I say, I'm kind of the lineman. I don't use very polished speaking techniques, but I'd like to thank you for listening to me.
Thank you. Joe Connors, who is with formerly a division coordinator for the humanities.
Although it's my intention to touch upon numerous topics, I think there's three basic goals I want to accomplish. First is to make you aware of what I consider to be the paramount.